we move from
take
the KSRO
career to the next level. Greaton Resort and Casino is having a job fair Saturday, December 3rd. For details, visit GreatonResortCasino.com.
Excuse me. It's the KSRO Good Food Hour with Chef John Ash as we move from the greenhouse to the kitchen. Good morning, Chef Ash.
How are you?
I'm doing very well. Tell me, how was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was just great, but I was saying to you just before we came on the air, we did too much. So I did it at my, we had Thanksgiving at my daughter Emily's house and her two little boys. And there were a bunch of other people who came too. So we had about 15 people there. And, you know, it's somehow when you get past eight, it's like, well, I think we need another appetizer. Oh, and we should have some soup and we should have three cheeses and we should. And it's like, no, let's remember this next year. You know, the turkey, one stuffing, a couple of salads, mashed potatoes, gravy.
And maybe one appetizer.
And one appetizer. Yeah.
Did you have crab as an appetizer?
Yeah. Yeah. I did little mini crab cakes.
Oh, you did yours?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Yeah, we had crab. We had both hot crab dip and then just fresh cracked crab that someone had cracked as our appetizers. Yeah. And that was plenty.
It is.
Didn't
plenty.
Eat anything
but
else.
But just as a footnote to that, isn't it? I was so sad to hear that.
It's been quarantined again.
It's been quarantined again, I guess, south of Point Reyes. But it's like,
it's okay.
Oh,
but the Sonoma Mendo coast is pretty much off limits.
Yeah.
So, but that's a lot of local fishermen are bummed out. It's going to be very competitive, obviously, wherever they go to fish.
Yeah.
So hopefully that will get lifted soon. So tell me about your turkey. Did you learn anything new this year? What size did you do? Did you brine? Give us.
Well, I did brine, but I did the thing called, you know, which has gotten a lot of play. I think it started last year, but our friend Kenji did
from Serious Eats.
From Serious Eats, who's been on the show a couple of times. He talked about this, and it's instead of a wet brine, which is always a pain in the neck, because what are you going to put it in? I had a 20-pound bird, I would have needed 3 or 4 gallons of water and salt and sugar and all that stuff. And my refrigerator isn't big enough. And yes, you can do it in an ice chest, but, you know, it's messy too. So I did the dry brine anyway. And the dry brine at its simplest, is just kosher salt and baking powder together. And the baking powder acts to do a couple of things. It kind of denatures the meat a little bit, but it also adds, it's that alkaline acid thing. Mm-hmm. And what it does is you sprinkle it on. You don't have to put a lot on. It's not, you know, really coating it. Actually, he has very specific directions that you mix. Basically, I think it's like 6 tablespoons of kosher salt. And if you're going to get kosher salt, get diamond crystal. If you're going to use Morton's, use half as much because it's twice as salty. But I always use Diamond National anyway. And 2 teaspoons of baking powder in there. You mix them together and then hold your hand. You take it and holding it 6 inches from the turkey, you sprinkle it all over. And then you put it in the refrigerator uncovered. You want to leave it uncovered. And you can do it for 24 hours if you want. I did mine for about 10 and it was fine. It was perfect. So it doesn't have to be a long thing. But the idea of leaving it uncovered, you know, the inside of our refrigerator is, for all of us who've had this circumstance, and all of us have had that, you know, our celery turns into rubber and our carrots turn into rubber. It's because the inside of a refrigerator is very dry. It desiccates whatever is in there. That's why celery and carrots become rubbery, because it takes all the moisture out of them. But this is a good thing for the bird, because what it does is it dries that skin, gets it so that when you roast it, it gets really crispy and brown and all of that without burning. And it's the simplest thing in the world. And of course, you can add more things to it. You can add some other seasonings to that salt mixture. You could put a little bit of sugar in it if you want to.
Did you?
No.
No.
I just did just the simplest.
Did you put any oil on the bird?
I did. Put a little bit of oil on it before I put the salt baking powder.
So it would adhere.
Yeah, but I think it would adhere fine anyway. You don't have to do that. I think I've been so programmed to put, you know, remember we always used to, we were told you had to every half hour, every 45 minutes, had to go baste it and do all of this kind of silly stuff. And I was noticing, because I thought, you know, nobody does that anymore. And so I was looking around in supermarkets and stuff, and they don't sell basters anymore. I think for exactly that reason. I think people have found that it's not, you know, it's not necessary.
That's a very funny option. conservation.
Yeah.
So basically just a salt and baking powder rub in the refrigerator. Kenji usually says it's the best to do 2 or 3 days in the refrigerator.
I don't think so.
But you know, even 12, 14 hours.
Well, his latest thing, which he published in Serious Eats, which is, for those who don't know this, it's a website that you can sign up for. It's free, and you get a little thing. And he's just an extraordinary scientist. Mm-hmm. And so this year, he changed that a little bit. And he said 12 to 24 is sort of the sweet spot.
Do you have to wash off the salt?
Nope.
No, you don't.
That's why you sprinkle it lightly. You don't slap it on there. You don't heavily coat it. It's just kind of as you would kind of season it anyway. You know,
you do just the top, or you do the bottom also?
I did the bottom also. Yeah, just lightly, and then turned it back around. Did it on a rack, which I think is important because that way the heat can circulate. And I have one of those great thermometers, you know, the ones that have a cable on
it. Yes.
So you can stick it in the turkey, and then you can shut the oven door and set the temperature, and it will tell you when it hits that temperature. It rings and all that.
Where do you have the thermometer inserted? In the thigh area?
In the thigh area, yeah. In the fat, in the biggest,
fattest part.
Fattest, biggest part of the thigh. And I think it's a good idea to, if you're going to do it a couple of times. I mean, you can start it off that way, but then turn the turkey around and stick it in the other thigh just to make sure that you've got it in there, you've got it in a good place. And it, you know, that 20-pound bird took about 3 hours, 3 hours and 15 minutes or something like that.
Did you start it high and then turn the temperature down?
No,
you didn't.
No. You know, why?
Why? Because there's so many...
In my old age, and it's like I was being kind of a snot, you know, I was saying, because again, we get in and you get them too, because I know you've subscribed to lots of websites. It was like, stop already with the instructions about how to cook turkey or the 47 side dishes that you have to try to prepare.
So what was the temperature you roasted at?
350.
350. Three and a half hours.
Yeah.
And it was perfect.
It was perfect.
Didn't baste.
No.
Did you turn the turkey over?
No.
No.
No. No. But I turned it around.
You did turn it around halfway through.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was sensational.
It was perfect.
Okay, so it's not rocket science.
It was well done.
It
wasn't bloody on the inside. It wasn't dried out. It wasn't any of those things.
Fantastic.
And there's a thought to, you know, this cooking it at a lower temperature. And actually, I've done that too, and it takes longer.
Yeah.
But there's a point of view that sort of says, do it at 325. You know, it takes a little longer, but if you have your trusty thermometer there, you don't have to worry. And also, I only cook it to, not only cook it to, but to 165. You know, if you have an old thermometer with USDA recommendations.
180.
And it's like, oh, it's way too much. It's going to be completely dried out. So 165, and it'll go up a few
degrees. And of course, you were taking this for presentation to a party, obviously.
Yeah.
But if you were doing it at home, would you have spatchcocked it?
Maybe if I would have had, this was a pretty big turkey, you need a big enough oven so you can lay it out flat. But yeah, the other thing that I've done in the past, which also really works, is, you know how the turkey legs are, you know the name of that little clamp that's on there to hold the legs together.
Yeah.
Well, one of the thoughts is to undo that clamp or cut it, because they're usually made out of some heat-proof plastic now.
Yes.
And actually take your knife and cut into along where the leg joins the body and splay the legs a little bit so that the heat can penetrate. Because when you have them together and the dark meat is denser, it takes longer to cook. And so I think often people, the breast will be fine, but the leg-thigh portion will be bloody and all of that stuff. And so if you just, it's not quite as pretty, you know, it's not
the
Norman Rockwell turkey that we get used to, but it just cooks it much more evenly. So it's kind of halfway in between that spatchcock.
That's a great idea for those who want to go do the full Monty, just to at least splay those legs out. You've got much more surface area and heat penetration.
And it'll cook evenly, and then if you want to, you can tie them back together again for presentation at the table.
If you go to the KS Arnold website now, you will be presented on the front page of the KS Arnold website Turkey Tetrazzini.
That's right.
It's the marquee recipe from John Ash's Culinary Birds, the ultimate poultry cookbook, one of many, many, many turkey recipes. You have a whole chapter
of
great turkey recipes in that book. And that was one of your faves, is Turkey Tetrazzini.
It is, because it's a great use of leftover turkey. You know, that's, we're being besieged with those right now, but I think they're beginning to tail off a little bit. Yeah. What to do with leftover turkey, you know, besides sandwiches?
Yes, and of course, sandwiches for us at the Garner household will be two. There'll be the hot rendition, the hot brown, which started in Louisville, Kentucky, which is an open-faced sandwich.
Okay, explain this one.
Explain it. Well, basically, the hot brown is an open-faced sandwich that was created at the Brown Hotel by Chef Schmidt back in the 1920s. And it's pretty simple. It's basically just a bechamel sauce is what's made. So you make your bechamel sauce, your roux, and you add a little bit of grated Romano or some type of cheese over rye bread or whatever type of bread you would like. Layer some turkey on. And then, of course, there's a couple slices of bacon around there and a little bit of paprika, toasted bread. And it's really all there is to it. And it's served with, of course, a knife and fork. You don't want to be picking
very
up.
Very elegant.
Very elegant, yes. Very country. And the other one we like just as well is not even better, even more, and that's the Marshall Field Special. The Field Special, which was created at Field's department store in Chicago many, many years ago. And is, I mean, it's amazing how phenomenally popular such a simple idea became. And it's basically good Jewish style rye bread. It's turkey. It's head lettuce. It is a homemade Thousand Island dressing. Mm-hmm. And that's the key. You really need to do that, the Worcestershire and all the wonderful nuances of Worcestershire sauce. And then a slice of cheese and then bacon, olives around the sides. That's really what it is. And more head lettuce on top. But the crispness, the fresh turkey, the Thousand Island, the bacon, everything about it just contributes to it.
And real turkey, not processed.
Not processed at all. It's really simple, and you can use whatever cheese you like. Usually it's Swiss cheese that they use on that sandwich. But it's the Marshall Field Special Turkey Sandwich, and to this day, we look forward to that on usually Saturday.
They're still serving it?
Marshall Fields was gone. Bought by Macy's many years ago. Don't get me started on that. Yeah. You talk to anybody that grew up with Marshall Fields, they never set foot in the store after that. And they closed down pretty much the dining room. You can't get it. But still, people that don't know go, I'm going to go get a Field Special. Because they served it year-round. It wasn't just for Thanksgiving. Yeah. And, of course, it doesn't exist. But it's such a simple sandwich to make.
It's kind of, you know, there's some great, and I'm sure you'll remember those two, great iconic dishes from San Francisco, like the Blum's chocolate cake, you know, which was, you know, before Blum's went out of business and all of that. And it's so sad.
The iconic department store, Marshall Field, all the department stores had something famous that they were known for. We'll be back after that. It's the KSR All Good Food Hour with Steve Garner and Chef John Ash.
1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO, winner of both the Edward R. Murrow and Mark Twain Awards for Best Newscast in the West.
Gene Crozaw, owner and founder of GNC Autobody, with a message for this holiday season.
When the holidays come around, that's the time when you were, as a young kid, you ran out to the Christmas tree and the lights were on and the house was warm and mom had the turkey or whatever baked. And as a young kid, you didn't have a worry in the world. Life was just cozy, warm, you were safe. It's not a you world, it's not a me world, it's us. And if everyone would just slow down, count their blessings, look around for people that are less fortunate than yourselves, spread a little love. If you were leaving this world tomorrow, how would you act today? You stop and count all your blessings. I think we go at such a fast pace, we don't do that. Pass the love around during the holidays. Remember, there's a lot of people in these times that are not so well off. Spread a little love. Pass it on. And the people at GNC Auto Body and the family, the Crozaw family, would like to wish everyone the best Christmas, the best holidays. And we've been extremely grateful for your patronage. Merry Christmas and have a Happy New Year. Spread a little love.
Did you know Sonoma County has one of the highest volunteer rates in the nation? That makes us Sonoma proud. United Way of the Wine Country needs English and bilingual volunteers for the United Way-led Earn It, Keep It, Save It free tax assistance program. Help low to moderate income working families and individuals get back the money they deserve at tax time by training as a volunteer. Too many local individuals and families struggle to make ends meet. You can really help. No prior tax experience needed. More than $25 million in refunds have been brought back to our communities through the Earn It, Keep It, Save It program. Volunteers help ensure all tax credits are taken by those who qualify. Become a tax preparer, greeter, resource table assistant, or interpreter during tax season. Show your Sonoma pride. Volunteer today. It's fun, rewarding, and a great resume builder. Training is free. Learn more at UnitedWayWineCountry.org or call 528-4485.
The best. Each year, Sonoma County searches for the best. You voted Dr. Walter Tom, the Press Democrat, best cosmetic surgeon. Why? He listens, he cares, and he and his team are highly skilled in cosmetic procedures, including Botox, fillers, lasers, hair transplants, smart lipo, tummy tucks, and breast augmentation.
Thank you to our wonderful patients who voted us the 2016 Press Democrat Best Cosmetic Surgeon. We are humbled by your kindness and will continue to strive to achieve the best cosmetic results possible because patient happiness and self-confidence is our top priority.
The best. A true professional with skills beyond the ordinary. Cosmetic surgeon Dr. Walter Tom. Contact his office today for a free consultation or visit his website at drwaltertom.com. That's drwaltertom.com. They look forward to hearing from you.
News Talk 1350 and the new FM 1035 KSRO.
It's the KSRO Good Food Hour with me, Steve Garner, along with Chef John S., celebrating, I've lost track, but Halloween, Thanksgiving together since 1987. Last year, we had the good fortune of talking with Ben Simon, and Ben Simon is still with the company called Imperfect Produce. And we had Ben on the show, as you recall, John, this same time, this Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And we talked about imperfect produce and what a marvelous idea this was, especially with how much food we both see thrown away and not sold and what happens to all of this food.
We should ask Ben, you know, it's some astounding percentage of fruits and vegetables get thrown away because they're just not cosmetically perfect.
And Ben and several of his partners have put together this company called Imperfect Produce to hopefully repurpose a lot of this food that would go unsold. Good morning, Ben, and thanks for joining us again.
Hey, Steve, John, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Well, when we spoke with you last year, Imperfect Produce was just kind of getting off the ground. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. We were just getting started back then.
And it started in the San Francisco Bay Area, correct?
Yep, that's right.
And several of you guys got together and decided to try to see if you could find another market for what's referred to as less than market beautiful produce.
Imperfect.
Right? Imperfect produce.
So didn't it, refresh my memory, didn't this start as a project in college or something? Was that it? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so, you know, to kind of give the full backstory for how we started Imperfect. So, you know, even going back like 5 years ago when I first started getting into this issue of food waste and realizing that, wow, we waste 40% of our food in this country when we have, you know, one in six Americans struggling with hunger. My friends and I started a project called Food Recovery Network to basically recover the surplus food in the dining halls at the end of the day and donate that. It's now at like 200 colleges across the country. And just like through that experience, you know, just learned a lot about food waste and actually learned that where the most food is actually getting wasted that could be recovered is actually on farms.
Gosh. So you got this idea to get together and somehow access that food and then resell it through either supermarkets or on individuals to individuals?
Exactly. We do both of those. Yeah, we're currently in Whole Foods in the NorCal region. Pretty much, I think almost every store in the NorCal region of Whole Foods is currently stocking us. And then, you know, our main business is actually this direct-to-consumer. So it's a subscription, and you sign up online at imperfectproduce.com, and you get a big box of ugly produce for about 30 to 50% cheaper than grocery store prices delivered straight to your door each week.
And how expensive is it to do that? If I wanted to sign up today, how much would it cost me?
Yeah, you know, so it really differs depending on box size. Uh-huh. You know, we got small all the way to up to extra large. We got conventional. A new thing we rolled out since the last time we talked actually is our wonderful organic box, which is actually now our most popular box. But boxes generally range like between, you know, $10, $12 and all the way up to, you know, about $40 for like our extra large mm-hmm. organic box, you know, enough organic produce to feed a family of five.
Wow.
How far do you distribute?
So we serve the better part of the Bay Area. You know, we go all the way down south to San Jose. We do San Francisco, Oakland, Berkeley, Emeryville, where we started. We go as far north into the North Bay as San Rafael.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so an area of about six million people.
So you have drop-off sites, weekly drop-off sites?
So actually, you know, we mostly phase that out. You know, our main business is just dropping off the produce straight to people's doorstep each week.
Well, so that's included in the price.
Exactly, yeah.
And what about recycling those boxes?
Yeah, you know, so that's something that we're working on. We actually initially, I mean, all of our boxes are recyclable. They're corrugated cardboard. Mm-hmm. We initially wanted to go into it creating a system where we could collect the boxes and sanitize them and reuse them. But just according to health code, apparently that just isn't possible. So we're kind of working on kind of innovating and trying to create a different type of packaging that really works well for home delivery so that we don't have to go through all of these boxes.
So the question, I guess, is that we all want affordable produce, but we all want produce that looks really good.
Mm.
A lot of resistance. Well, that's how we were raised, right? The more beautiful produce is probably the better,
right.
better quality. We equate looks with better breeding. So I would guess that was a lot of resistance from, I guess, mainstream supermarkets probably to carry your products. Was there less resistance to maybe a more far-sighted operation like Whole Foods?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. You know, they're very forward-thinking. And, you know, we're already having some conversations with, you know, even the highest up people in Whole Foods globally in terms of their produce department on how do we scale this now to the other regions across the country. And yeah, I mean, you know, they took a big risk. Like Whole Foods, actually, I don't think they always get enough credit for that, but they've taken a lot of risks on, you know, different food trends and kind of trying to get ahead of the curve, and especially for stuff around social responsibility. So yeah, definitely kudos to them.
So right now it's in Northern California only or other areas of California?
So it's just Northern California currently, both with the box program and with our program with Whole Foods.
Great. And are there, go ahead, John.
Well, I was going to say, so the deal in rolling this out to other parts of the country is that you have to then line up a whole bunch of farmers because there must be transportation costs must figure mightily into this. So it's finding that whole group of people who can support and supply you with
products
you need.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, we got to have our supply chain moving with us as we open up to new cities across the country. Luckily, actually, our next city we're hoping to open up is Los Angeles in early 2017. So since a lot of our produce comes from the Central Valley,
mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of those farmers are just as close to Los Angeles as they are to the Bay. So, you know, that's actually really convenient for us to be able to largely pull on that same supply chain for this second city that we're planning to launch in.
So I would guess it would be a fairly easy sell for farmers that are going to have their produce rejected at market. And here's a resource for them to make some money on their investment.
It is. You know, we have, you know, a huge supply chain of farmers. It's about 70 farmers. Mostly across the state of California. It's the largest ugly produce supply chain in the country. We take pride in that. You know, it is an easy sell. We have more farmers that want to work with us than we're actually able to work with. I mean, I don't know what farmer is growing produce and wants to, you know, have 15% or 20% of their crop then be rejected from their buyers, you know, just because of the way it looks, even if it's perfectly, you know, tasty and perfectly nutritious.
So how does it work? Do the farmers bring to a central warehouse area where it's sorted and evaluated and a price is determined for the produce?
Yeah, so they do a sort. there at the farm level or at the pack house level, and we give them the specs. And for basically for every new farmer, we actually walk the field with them and establish that spec. So they're already sorting it and grading it to our spec. A lot of the times, actually, this produce, as it's graded out, you know, it's got different USDA grades. And, you know, it'll actually already be sorted there and just have nowhere to go, really. But it's in a bin in many cases. So then once it's sorted out at the farm level, it's shipped on a refrigerated truck to our warehouse in Emeryville, where it receives a secondary sort. And then we have cold storage there and pack the customized boxes and drop it straight off on customers' doorstep.
You know, I've seen, I've actually seen some of your product at Whole Foods stores, and I have to tell you, I often can't tell the difference between the so-called imperfect produce and that the regular stuff that's being offered, because sometimes these cosmetic differences are so tiny that they, the other comment that I've heard, and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong about this, is that a lot of the standards, USDA standards and all of that stuff were really kind of silly. You know, they don't really relate to the real world and kind of what happens in the fields. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. You know, a lot of the produce items, like the ones we have in Whole Foods, you know, it's just the tiniest scarring or it's a little bit, you know, misshapen. Like our logo for Imperfect is a red potato heart. It's a red potato that's shaped like a heart instead of that perfect oval. Mm-hmm. And we literally have some of those. We're selling red potatoes at Whole Foods right now, and we have seen some that look like hearts. And those just, they don't have a processor market for those, and they don't have anywhere to go with those. It's really, really unfortunate. I mean, it totally is, you know, this cult of perfection. We're buying with our eyes, and the average consumer, I think, actually doesn't care that much if it is shaped funny. I mean, it's still, you know, it still tastes the same. It's still perfectly good. You know, you put it in some mashed potatoes over Thanksgiving, it's going to be just as good.
At one end of the spectrum, there's Whole Foods, of course, and that would seem to be an easier entree for a visionary program like Whole Foods and their corporate philosophy of embracing this. What about the food wastelands that so many Americans have to, unfortunately, be restricted to? The Walmarts of the country, where people, that's their only source of fresh food. Would Walmart be a potential partner in this idea?
Yeah, so, you know, Walmart has actually rolled out their own very small regional pilot. I say small for Walmart standards. I mean, it's 200 stores, but I mean, gosh, I don't know, what are they, 3,000 or more stores across the country? But I think it was only like a weekend thing or something like that. It was very unclear, and they wouldn't really commit to trying to make it a longer-term thing, and they were telling folks that they didn't have supply year-round for it, you know, which is strange. I mean, because we have our hands on the supply, and we're trying to work with more retailers, and we're actually in touch with Walmart and other folks. So I don't know. It's like they know it's out there, but they don't really want to move forward with it. But they're doing some, and they're doing some press around it. So, you know, I think it's to be determined. We've talked to a lot of folks with knowledge around retail, and, you know, some of them think that this is the type of thing that could fit our vision where, you know, long-term, there really is an ugly produce section in the same way that, you know, there's an organic section now of each grocery store. Maybe you'll have 5 or 10 ugly produce items in your supermarket. And there's other, you know, folks with a lot of retail knowledge that think, okay, you know, maybe it'll work for Whole Foods and it'll work for some of these smaller co-ops and, you know, natural and organic food stores, but then it'll kind of stop there. So I think it's really to be determined. I mean, it's really taken hold in a lot of countries across the world, in Europe especially. There's a lot of the largest supermarkets still have ugly produce programs that are still running, you know, 3 years after they've started. So it's really to be seen.
Well, it's exciting. It's new. And we want to make this an annual event as long as God and the rest of the forces allow us to be on the air. We want to check in with you next Thanksgiving.
All right. Right on. Well, John, thanks for having me. Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving.
And in the meantime, Ben, if people are interested that live, certainly not in Santa Rosa because it's out of your distribution area, but in our listeners in Marin and the Bay Area and Oakland and Berkeley, can we just go to your website for information about arranging deliveries?
Yeah, absolutely. You can go to our website, imperfectproduce.com. and for the folks in you know, Santa Rosa and Sonoma County and up there, you know, we're actually planning on launching statewide home delivery, you know, through overnight ground, through a carrier, in early 2017. So just a few months from now, we're planning on launching in those areas as well, and they can actually pre-sign up on our website as well.
That's extremely exciting. Ben Simon, the Chief Executive Officer for Imperfect Produce, thank you so much for talking with us again this year. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Take care.
A great day.
We'll be right back after the bottom of the hour. We're going to head down to the sunny warmth of Oaxaca to check in with Chef John Ashton, what he experienced on his culinary tour just a few weeks ago. We'll also be chatting persimmons. My gosh, you can't turn around with someone not leaving a persimmon or two on your front porch, which is great news for us. And the culinary applications of persimmons. And wouldn't be the show unless we at least touched on some crab ideas for this fall holiday season. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash in the KSRO Kitchen.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Steve Kerr, and this is the home of Golden State Warriors play-by-play, 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO.
This is Lawrence Amaturo, owner of News Talk KSRO, with good news from our community. From the upside, here's Steve Jackson.
The United Way of the Wine Country has been helping low-income families and seniors with their tax returns with their Earn It, Keep It, Save It program. This year was the busiest year yet, with more than 5,200 returns filed during 2016. That far exceeds expectations. They helped return $6.8 million, a $1 million increase over last year. This helps our community become more financially stable and helps, obviously, our local economy. See all the good work they're doing at UnitedWayWineCountry.org.
The Upside is presented by a community grant from Jackson Family Wines. Since 1982, Jackson Family Wines has put the same care into their employees, communities, and natural resources as they have into producing world-class wines.
Sustainability is the root of their vision of good land, water, and energy management. Jackson Family Wines was honored for their commitment to renewable energy with the 2016 Green Power Leadership Award by the Environmental Protection Agency.
Jackson Family Wines is also dedicated to being good community partners. Last year, they implemented Rooted for Good, a Jackson Family Wines volunteer program that gives their employees time to volunteer at local nonprofits. Learn more at JacksonFamilyWines.com.
Hello, I'm Joyce DeFalla, the Assistant Minister at the Center for Spiritual Living, Santa Rosa. You may have heard our program, Spiritual Living with Edward Filyun, a half hour of practical spiritual inspiration at 8:30 on Sunday mornings. We'd also like to invite you to visit our book and gift store, Stepping Stones Books and Gifts, where you'll find a wide range of metaphysical and spiritual books, CDs, and DVDs, as well as many gift items for the spiritually inclined. Stepping Stones Books and Gifts is open Saturday through Wednesday. Please call for our hours, 707-546-4543. That's Stepping Stones Books and Gifts at the Center for Spiritual Living, 2075 Occidental Road. You can also visit Stepping Stones online at steppingstonesbooksandgifts.org. That's one word, steppingstonesbooksandgifts.org. And don't forget, Spiritual Living with Edward Filyun at 8:30 on Sunday mornings.
With today's complex vehicles, you can't afford to rely on anyone other than top professionals. Hyundai of Petaluma offers certified technicians, state-of-the-art equipment, and factory-specified parts. We can tackle anything related to repairs and maintenance with accuracy. Come in before November 30th to receive 15% off your next Hyundai service. Visit us online to schedule an appointment at PetalumaHyundai.com and click service. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Not valid with any other offer. Excludes all Genesis models. Offer does not apply to prior purchases. Other restrictions may apply.
Flags have been lowered to half staff across Cuba as 9 days of national mournings begins for the late Fidel Castro. The man who led the island nation's communist revolution died last night at the age of 90. Castro's death affecting many Cuban Americans.
Almost every New Year's Eve, Cuban Americans' families say next year in Havana, you know, or next year in Cuba. That's what you kind of celebrate. I think it's a time for reflection. It's a time to remember all of our relatives that came over, like my grandparents, who never got to see their country again, but who never fully understood packed their briefcases and their luggage because they thought there would be a day where they could go back.
ABC's Tom Yamas, whose parents fled Cuba. Shoppers ran for cover today when shots rang out at a mall in Coral Springs, Florida. Police say two people were involved. One of them is dead. An attorney for Hillary Clinton says her legal team will follow Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein and participate in the Wisconsin recount that Stein requested. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Overcast and rainy today, topping out at 57 degrees, 55 on the coast. More clouds and rain tonight, low 45, 46 on the shores. It's partly cloudy for Sunday at 60 degrees, 58 in Bodega Bay. Monday, a few clouds at 63, 62 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash. Good morning. Thanks so much for joining us on this Thanksgiving holiday weekend. And hope you're enjoying family and friends and a lot of wonderful food. A few weeks ago, I guess about probably a month ago, John, you spent a wonderful few weeks in Oaxaca. And was this your first visit?
Yes, it was. It's been on my bucket list for forever, I think. And you know, before I got before I get too creaky, I thought I better get down there, and I went also to be there for Day of the Dead, which I've been always really fascinated with and have read a lot about and all of that. And for those who aren't familiar, it kind of is it's kind of the Mexican Halloween, but it's not scary. You know, I'm sure everybody sees them. You know, the skulls and the ghosts and all of that kind of stuff. And it is the most psychedelic experience I think that I've ever had without taking any psychedelics. You know, you just, they get into a state, they number one dress and paint themselves in the most amazing, just out there dreamlike kinds of things. And then dance and drink mezcal, which I think is the thing that puts them into this trance, and it goes on for days. And each village is different. You know, they'll have different days that it happens on, but you know, they'll stay up for 24, 36 hours dancing and all of that wonderful Mexican tuba music. You know,
which ecstatic.
Ecstatic.
Besides that, of course, is the rich culinary history of Oaxaca.
Yes, it is, because you know, when in southern Mexico, probably. I'll make this comment. I think most people know it, but I'll make this comment that Mexico is one of the most diverse countries that exists in terms of the differences between the culinary traditions in various parts of Mexico. Mexico, like Europe, was a series of kingdoms a long time ago before it kind of came together. And they still, in most of those kingdoms, honor the indigenous foods that were made by the people who live there. And Oaxaca's rich in indigenous people. There are more Indian tribes there than you can imagine. And some of the most beautiful artwork I've ever seen in my life, you know, weaving and food being one of those too. And of course, Oaxaca is very famous for moles, though moles are made all over Mexico. But in Oaxaca, it's the black mole that is really extraordinary. So I went and spent some time with a really wonderful teacher down there who we had to make it the traditional way, you know, with the matate, you know, the stone and the grinding it by hand and doing all of that stuff. And it was really, and we'll actually post this if anybody thinks they want to go down there. The woman who taught this class is a Zapotec woman, really most beautiful, and her family are weavers. And so when you go out, way out in one of the valleys to visit them, she's there offering cooking things, and her brothers and cousins are weaving and doing all of that stuff. But really at a very high level, it was.
You took her cooking.
Yeah. Made the black mole and all of that stuff. And I brought you a copy of it, and we can probably put this up too. Though I don't know whether anybody's going to do it because of the number of ingredients, but there are. But you can do it. You can find all of this stuff, and you don't have to do it by hand. You don't have to do it on a metate. You can do it in a blender. You know, which
an electric grinder.
An electric grinder, okay. Yeah, to makes it a lot easier. But it's it is the most the most seductive thing that I think I've ever eaten in my life. And I've had a lot of moles prepared by all kinds of people, but this was the best, without any question.
You had mentioned something about her setting the seeds or the spices on fire.
Yeah. I took pictures of this because, and it's in this recipe that we'll post or do something with. All of the traditional stuff. It's like, you know, mostly, especially in using dried chilies, which they use a lot of in the making of the black mole, you know, usually the instructions say, well, open them up and take the seeds and throw them away and all this stuff. And she's, no, you don't do that. You save all of the seeds. And then one of the steps is to actually take the seeds and set them on dry, these are the dried seeds of the chili, and set them on fire until they burn and become very dark and become very fragrant and all this stuff. And then that's added to the mole mixture too. And so gives you that underlying smoky kind of exotic flavor that you couldn't get any other way. So it was wild.
So this was the traditional black mole that you made at this class.
And so the black mole, it's probably the most famous of the moles, is the one that uses chocolate. Not sweetened chocolate, but just the cacao chocolate that you grind up into this thing too. And the interesting thing is you can go to markets down there. So if you figure, yeah, I don't want to do this. And in all of the markets, there are variations on this theme that you can buy. And they're all delicious. You know, they're all fantastic. And of course, the classic recipe, interesting because we're talking about turkey today, is turkey mole, turkey with the black mole. And often how they'll do it there is that they'll roast the turkey or the chicken or the bird or whatever it is and have the mole kind of on the side. So you get a piece of, and I decided that I like it much better when the turkey or the chicken or whatever it is cooked in the mole because it actually penetrates the meat, which is so good. And this little packet that I got, there was a really wonderful cactus salad that she made. You know, if you want to know how to deal with nopales, they're called the cactus paddles, the fresh ones. This was really a really fantastic one. A really wonderful vinaigrette that she put on it with made its basis was apple cider vinegar, which is really great. And there's a wonderful thing, and I'm going to see if I can find it here. It was the most delicious kind of basic rice dish that was served with the mole, which was arroz con chipil. And chipil is a kind of, I can't even describe it, kind of a weed that grows everywhere in the mountains down there, and they just go gather it. And it's kind of a cross between, the flavor is kind of a cross between bay leaf and mint and other kinds of things, but with a very, very distinctive flavor. And because it's used everywhere, I got to believe that somebody's doing it here or that we could grow it, you know, get the seeds and we'll do it ourselves, you know.
So that was used as the seasoning for the rice?
For the rice, yeah. Beautiful. And it's very pretty and all of that, but with a very, again, kind of exotic flavor to it. And then she made an interesting dessert, which I wasn't crazy about, but it was kind of like a corn flan in which you would take the corn and grind it up and no eggs, no, none of that kind of stuff, but make it and chill it. And then you would do little designs in it. That part of it was really fun, but it's pretty rich.
Yeah. Was it more like a chilled polenta, something cut into squares?
Kind of. I guess that would be the closest thing to
analogy we could make. Yeah. Well, in the meantime, could we post from your book, Culinary Birds, the turkey mole
recipe? Of course, yeah.
Because that's very doable. I mean, it has several, obviously, ingredients, but it's very clear, and this will give people an idea of the black
mole. It's a good one, you know, and there are as many different mole recipes, variations on mole, as I guess people who make them. And of course, like so many dishes like this, there's great controversy about what should be there, what shouldn't be there, and how much of this and that.
If you really want to get into Oaxacan cooking, we can recommend two books.
Yeah.
The Food and Life of Oaxaca, Traditional Recipes from Mexico's Heart by Zarela Martinez. She's a marvelous cook and restaurateur.
This is a great
book, yeah. The Food and Life of Oaxaca. And if you want to build up your muscles, then you would want to get the massive tour de force by Diana Kennedy, which we have here, Oaxaca al Gusto, an infinite gastronomy. Many feel this was her tour de force. Well, I had the pleasure of interviewing Diana Kennedy when she was here in Sonoma,
yeah,
at Ramekins,
yeah,
in 2010. It was a great honor to talk with her in front of an audience.
And she's a trip.
She is a trip.
Yeah.
Diana Kennedy, yeah. Oaxaca al Gusto. Two really good books, very different. And we'll have John's Turkey Mole join your turkey,
yes,
tetrazzini.
And the other thing that, of course, they eat a lot of down there, which just bums people out, bums Americans out, are insects. Yes. And it was something that I included in my last book called Cooking Wild, just kind of talking about the fact that in many parts of the world, insects are an important part of the diet. And there's a belief, the World Health Organization and others say, that's the direction we should be going. We shouldn't be raising cattle and pigs and all that stuff, because it not only is it inhumane, but they're terribly corrosive to the environment and all of that stuff. So the future may be that. So I brought back... they're called chapulines, which are the grasshoppers, which are available everywhere. And they're on everything, you know, when you're down there. So you get your tacos and there's some little grasshoppers on top of it. And when people sort of say, grasshoppers, but they're fried and they have chili, right, on them and lime. And it's like you could eat your shoe if it were deep fried with chili and lime on it.
And you brought me a wonderful souvenir.
I did.
Grasshopper hot sauce.
Hot sauce, yes.
Which is
the chapulín.
It's, yeah, sensational. Yeah. Thank you for, yeah, that. We'll be back. This is the KSRO Good Food Hour with Chef John Ash and me, Steve Garner.
Honored by both the Radio and TV Digital News Association and the AP for Best Newscast in the West. 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market won the Best Sonoma County Farmers Market Award by the Press Democrat's Reader's Choice. To find out why, shop the market for your Thanksgiving feast. Enjoy selections of fresh and organic greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, and walnuts. Meet the local ranchers who offer a variety of quality meats, from beef, chicken, and pork to quail and rabbit. Choose fresh fish and crab from a variety of seafood vendors and sample local dairy products. Everything you need to create the freshest Thanksgiving feast is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Remember to check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving. Open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
If you love shopping, Black Friday is a sale extravaganza. But who wants to deal with the crowds? So North Bay Nissan has made Black Friday every day in November. Shop for the Nissan car or truck you want at North Bay Nissan in Petaluma and get Black Friday prices today, tomorrow, right now.
This month, get up to $10,000 Nissan cash back on select models and make no payments for 90 days. North Bay Nissan is an official Toys for Tots donation center. Help us provide a Merry Christmas to the children in need. Drop off any new unwrapped toy to our showroom by December 15th.
Get a head start on shopping for your next Nissan. Hey, maybe you can afford more gifts with your Black Friday savings at North Bay Nissan. Black Friday starts now. Holiday shopping just got more exciting. It's your day at North Bay, just off the 101 in Petaluma and NorthBayNissan.com. North Bay Nissan, a proud member of the Avante Auto Group.
North Bay Nissan.
Hey guys, on today's SoCo Sun Show, we're talking with Liz about their new life room. So what do you like most about this life room, Liz?
We're outside more. The life room is a great place to hang out with our friends. At night, we can have the shades down if we need to block the wind. It's the best of both worlds. It's an extra room outdoors.
Tell our listeners about the party.
Oh, my daughter had her 16th birthday party recently. We had a bunch of her friends over. We had the mood lighting, a movie on a big screen, and it was fun for them. They had their own room.
And David, Sonoma County Sunrooms can add a life room to just about any home?
Sure. With a little creativity, the life room will blend right in.
give us a call to set up a complimentary design consultation to see what can work for you.
Right now, Sonoma County Sunrooms on Santa Rosa Avenue is offering up to $1,500 off. SoCoSun.com. Design, installations, remodeling.
Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
It is the KSRO Good Food Hour. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash. One of our KSRO co-hosts came in. We asked her how her Thanksgiving was. She said she spent it where?
At the Wagon Wheel. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Dive bars.
Yeah. And John said, I'm afraid to go in there. I'll get beat up. Right?
Yeah.
So, but it was fun, wasn't it, Michelle?
Yes. Actually, dive bar Thanksgiving is kind of fun. Mm. And we enjoyed. They had a little bit of turkey dinner there for the orphans. So that was kind of nice.
Oh, that's good.
So it was a good philanthropic community-minded affair.
Yeah, it was fun. And everyone was watching the games. You know, you watch the football games.
You play some pool?
Oh, we did not play some pool, but I did play the jukebox. I played the heck out of the jukebox.
Oh.
And got paid actually by the bartender to keep playing music from the jukebox. So.
Well, you're a natural. You're a broadcaster. You're a professional.
So I was like,
you know, if things don't work out in radio, you can
I'll go to the Wagon Wheel and play music.
And a good Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah, it was really nice. Thank you.
Turkey, the whole nine yards.
The little bit of turkey.
A little bit of turkey.
Yeah.
Sounds like the Wagon Wheel was really Thanksgiving.
It was great.
Well, thanks. That's an alternative Thanksgiving
idea.
For next year,
actually,
maybe?
We should do a tour.
Maybe live from the Wagon Wheel, the Good Food Hour. Yeah. How about that? Well, crab is here, even though it's unfortunately the Sonoma Mendocino Coast are not harvesting. But you brought one of your most famous crab recipes.
Yes, one that I really like, and it's really simple to do. It involves some frying, but it's very simple to do. And those are crab hush puppies.
And it's simple with a romesco sauce.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's cornmeal flour, baking powder, sugar, salt, eggs, milk. I mean, your standard
hush puppy
recipe.
But then you put the fresh crab in it, and it's like, oh, this is what hush puppies should be.
And a little bit of scallions. Again, a little bit of green. And these are how big?
They're about an inch and a half. You can make them. You don't want to make them too big because they're a snack. You know, you pick them up and eat them with whatever you're going to eat them with.
And you deep fry them?
Deep fry them, yeah.
Oh, these sound sensational. So can we put these up on the KSRO website?
Sure.
I'd love it.
Because we're, you know, just think there. How many more football games are there through the weekend?
There's a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next week, we're going to welcome a wonderful guest, Ali Bazzari, to the KSRO kitchen. He is a technical wizard in the food world. He's consulted with some of the biggest names, and he's a local Sonoma County guy. He's got a brand new book about techniques. And we're looking forward to him. Coming up on the 10th, we will have Kyle Connaughton from Single Thread. The restaurant is opening in next week, actually, to the public. Yeah. We'll have Kyle on, talk about this year-plus-young process. And then the 17th, we will have, who are we having on? Cal Peternell, a great chef from Chez Panisse.
Yeah.
And then the 24th, it's you and me doing our Christmas best of. The 31st, Tom Simino joining us for the last day of the year for his best wines of the year.
Yeah.
All that coming up. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
This is Sonoma County's home of Key Auto Body.